Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed about owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with Fred Bartlett, Vice President of Franchising for Express Employment Professionals. And since 1983, Express has been providing unparalleled staffing services across a variety of industries, and today employs more than 375,000 people each year. And that's coming up in Segment 2 of Franchise Interviews. Our first segment today is being brought to you by Franchise Interviews, LLC. And Franchise Interviews gives you an up-close and behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. A weekly franchise radio show on Blog Talk Radio, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and franchise attorneys, and our monthly franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. And don't forget to check out our new podcast called Great Quotes in Franchising. And today, Don and I are dedicating today's show to Tim Russert. And Don, welcome back to another edition of Franchise Interviews. How's your week going, my friend?
Fine. I mean, it's just starting.
For a Monday.
I can't really answer that yet. That hasn't really started.
We're 2 hours into it, right?
Yeah.
So hopefully it's going well so far. It's unusual doing a show on a Monday because, you know, traditionally we're doing it on Thursdays. So
right.
I guess for the first time I could say, you know, how was your weekend? Or,
right.
And I celebrated a big Father's Day yesterday, didn't you?
Yeah, congratulations to you for your first.
Thank you.
First Father's Day for Marty, yeah.
They're a lot of fun. You know, I didn't realize they were so much fun. Otherwise I wouldn't have waited so long, you know. It's
Yeah, you got your cards, your greeting
cards.
Lots
of cards, lots of gifts. The baby gave me a card, you know. And
yeah.
You know, it was just great. We got to spend it with my dad, who is also Martin McDermott. You know, he's Martin
right.
McDermott Sr. So three generations of Martins kind of hanging out together, you know. So it was a lot of fun.
Same with us, with our family, all got together.
Yeah.
Just a good weekend in general. Took the kids to a carnival Friday night.
Oh, really?
Down over where we went last year, so.
Right, right.
Those carnivals are a lot more expensive than you think, especially
they
when you have twins.
Aren't they? I can only imagine. And now they want to go on all the rides and everything like that.
Right.
It's funny because I just, you know, I remember it seems like yesterday you telling me this story last year. I remember you going to the carnival and the kids going on the rides and ponies and stuff like that, you know. And
yeah, it's, I mean, you know, it's we always have something going on, you know, the weekends now with the warmer weather.
Oh, I imagine. You got busy weekends in the summer, don't you?
Yeah, there's just a lot of stuff. It's great, though. Kids have a great time.
Right, absolutely.
You know, summers usually go pretty quickly, so you want to take advantage of
they
it.
They sure do. I know. I know. Our last show, Don, we got to meet with Chris Cheek of the Brugger's Franchise Opportunity, and Brugger's is known for authentic, boiled, and baked bagels. Brugger's bakers lend their expertise to crafting a variety of other stone hearth baked breads, such as ciabatta and the exclusive Softwich, which is a softer square bagel ideal for sandwiches. And they're in almost 300 neighborhood bakery cafes in 22 states, including Alaska. Brugger's offers a warm, comfortable setting for guests to enjoy a wholesome meal. I thought it was a great show. What were your thoughts on last week?
Yeah, you know, also I felt it was a very good show. It was just pretty interesting how Brugger's has evolved into a bakery cafe.
It sure has.
I guess listening and, you know, to their customers over the years.
Right.
You know, a lot more than just, okay, go in and get a few bagels or whatever. It's really going to be a full concept. So that was pretty interesting. Also, like we always ask our guests, we ask the question about, you know, what are some of the characteristics making a successful franchisee? And his answer was pretty interesting.
Right.
You know, one is a given, you know, follow the franchisor system.
Right.
And I guess they like people. I guess they try to sense to see if they have a real competitive nature. Because, you know, I guess one of his, you know, answers to that was finding people who are just, you know, really competitive in nature.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
And then I think also the importance of just having a solid staff of coworkers and
right.
their services, you know, having the right team.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they're in a very competitive market, you know. I mean, again, you know, it's just dealing with the lunch crowds and, you know, dinner and breakfast. I mean, it is. It's very, very competitive. So I can see why
right.
they'd want their franchisees to have that competitive spirit, you know. I thought they had a very strong menu. I like the fact that they've been around for a quarter of a century. They just celebrated their 25th anniversary, which I thought was great.
Right.
And Chris said something interesting. He said, you know, when we typically ask, you know, how big is the market? You know, it's a pretty big market. He said, everyone with a stomach, you know, I mean,
right.
it's literally that big, you know. So, and I like the whole airport concept that they're getting into as well. I thought that was interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's always a... I think that's a perfect fit for them. I guess he puts them in that fast casual category.
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. They're an experience, you know. I mean, they call their customers. They don't call them customers. They call them guests. You
right.
Know? And so I think they really excel in customer service, and they want to give everybody an experience, kind of like Starbucks does, you know. So just a very interesting concept overall.
Right. Yeah. Definitely a good point about the service aspect. I mean, I guess they have no choice but to. You know, really go, not really overboard, but you know what I mean. They
sure.
make sure every customer's taken care of.
Absolutely. It's just so important. So I thought it was a great show. What do we have going on today and over the next, 2 months?
Yeah, I mean, just a lot of stuff lined up. Today, like you said earlier, Express Employment Professionals is coming on today.
Right.
Fred Bartlett, formerly known as Express Personnel Services. A lot of people know about them nationwide.
Right.
We're excited about that. Next week, we got Michael Newman, founder of ABC franchise, Always Best Care, and they specialize, some of their services is in-home care, assisted living placement services.
Right, that's actually this week, right? It's this Thursday.
Oh, that's right.
Two shows this week.
Right, yeah. This Thursday, okay. And then next week we have Sterling Optical coming on.
That's
June
26th. That's going to be a big one. And they've got a nice history behind them too, don't they? They've been around for a long time. I didn't realize Sterling Optical has been around.
Right, yeah. First door opened in the Financial District, New York City, 1914.
Wow.
Over 200 or close to 200 locations in the Sterling Optical and Sight for Sore Eyes names. So we're excited about that. I've known about them for years. July 3rd, Marty, franchise called 4 Refuel franchise.
Wow.
Don't really know much about them.
That's going to be interesting, though, with this, time of, with gas prices going up and things like
right.
that. You know, I'm just looking forward to having those guys on the show. I've heard of them.
Yeah, it's good timing to have a franchise
sure
like that
is.
On with what's going on with energy and gas prices. It says here, own a piece of the energy business fuel powers economic growth around the world.
That's a nice sales proposal, huh? It's like you hear that, you say, oh, interested.
July 10th, we're having on Baskin-Robbins, very popular ice cream dessert franchise.
That's
been around
ice cream
62
month,
years.
It? Yeah, it's. I remember you mentioning last show, I think it's ice cream month.
July, right.
That's right.
That all gives us an excuse to go out and have ice cream.
There you go.
Every few days. July 17th, Tom Skarda. He's been in franchising for years. It should be a very interesting show. We're having 1-800-Radiator on soon after that, early August. So just a lot of
There's a lot stuff. More that we're actually going to post on the show page as well. I mean, following that, it's just going to be a busy schedule through the rest of the summer. The summer's almost pretty much booked, So
right.
So, a lot of exciting things happening, and the diversity of the show, Don.
Right.
If you notice all these different categories that you're talking about, very very diverse. So
energy. Optical.
There you go. You can't
ice
get
cream.
Different than that, it's just, so there's been a nice variety on the show, as we're
right.
approaching our 100th show mark.
Right. I think we'll hit that sometime in the fall.
Yeah, absolutely. So here's an interesting article, Don, or an interesting topic. Is it smart to buy a franchise right out of college? And I think you and I may have discussed that a little over the past
right.
2 years, but not much.
Yeah.
Here's a great article. This is from the New York Times, and see if I could find the author here. I don't see an author, so I'm going to have to go back and reference it.
I think it's Eve, and you can pronounce the last name.
Oh, thank you. Eve T. Tomiki Glue. Oh, boy, that's a tough one, huh?
Yeah.
Here's the article. It says, Clay McGee was soon to graduate from Arizona State University with a degree in marketing when he realized that the corporate world wasn't for him. He wanted to be his own boss and run a business, though he had little experience and he had little cash. Then it hit him, franchising. I pretty much knew I didn't want to go and apply for jobs and fight against the rest of the working class and try to stand out above it, Mr. McGee, 24 years old, said. So I started shopping for a franchise because I figured it would be a good opportunity for someone to hold my hand through the whole thing. Today, he owns, this is a franchise we've referenced on several occasions, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Who we're going to have on the show in the near future.
Right.
Franchise in Springfield. Thought about the $120,000 last year. I guess he actually made $120,000 last year and has 4 employees. And he plans to buy a second one in Branson. Says it's hard to say if Mr. McGee signifies a growing group of graduates bypassing regular employment to become franchisees. The numbers are still a small piece of the overall franchising pie. And you and I have referenced, you know, who's typically buying franchises today. You know, it seems
right.
like it's, it's a combination of male, female today. But, you know, it's like in your, let's say, 40s to 50s.
Right, probably an average age. It's rare for someone young to be buying a franchise.
Right.
And, you know, the big reason, obviously, is most of the time they just don't quite have the financing for it.
Absolutely, you know, and it's kind of interesting if you think about it. You know, you say, okay, well, where are these young kids getting their money? They're probably getting it from, I suspect, their parents, right? I mean, their parents
right.
are co-signing
right.
on these loans. And, you know, you kind of say, is that a good thing or a bad thing? You know, I mean, a lot of times people say, you know, when you have a financial stake in the business, that kind of helps a bit, doesn't it? You know, so I don't know about that. Wing Zone is another franchise that aggressively goes after college graduates, Don.
Right.
I don't know if you knew that. So
I saw here in the article they're saying franchising is now being taught in about 200 campuses around the U.S.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it is. It's incredible.
I mean, it makes sense. Franchising is growing so much.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, so it's, you know, I think, again, it has its pluses and minuses. I think we can have a whole debate on this particular topic. It does seem like I actually... you know that I'm the faculty advisor for the Kaplan University Collegiate Entrepreneurs, and I attended a competition recently, and one of the winners, his name was William Finkman. He graduated from California State University. He bought an I Sold It franchise. Did so well, I think he ended up buying another.
Right.
And, I mean, here he is. He's 24 years old, you know, and he buys a franchise right out of school. I mean,
I guess certain franchise systems maybe... you know, maybe not as tough overall to run the business. I know some franchisors actually recruit younger people, but and there's probably just some systems maybe more suitable for someone young like this. So,
right.
You know, you're getting the training, ongoing support. If you get that right person, you know, even at a young age, you know, I guess it can work. I guess it's working.
Absolutely. You know, so it's just an interesting topic.
Right.
You know, again, it has its pluses and minuses. You know, there have been... a lot of success stories with college graduates.
Right.
But I suspect there's also been a number of failures as well. You know what I mean? It's
right.
I don't know if I would have been ready to buy a franchise right out of college, you know.
Right.
I don't know if I would have wanted maybe a little experience. But then again, you say, does that experience work against you, you know?
Right.
When we had the gentleman from Tarek from Edible Arrangements.
Right.
You know, he said you got to really kind of put that experience aside, don't you? So college graduates might be easier to mold, perhaps. You know,
right.
They don't have
good to have experience,
habit.
But
yeah.
You know, maybe sometimes experience brings on bad habits. You know, so yeah,
exactly.
Like
it depends
said,
on the franchise,
yeah.
But you know, again, it really is based on just following the system. You know, and again, you know, franchising doesn't discriminate. You know, I mean, if you're a high school graduate or you have a PhD, I mean, if you follow the system, that's how you're going to be the most successful franchise. That's the bottom line.
Right.
So just an interesting article, and again, that was from the New York Times.
Here's something from the Wall Street Journal, Marty. Hotels offer fuel subsidies to lure guests. We're talking before about the high gas prices.
Right.
This is by Kelly Grant, April 15th. Skyrocketing gasoline prices this summer may actually end up helping certain travelers save money. From big-name hotels to tiny bed and breakfast, the lodging industry has started rolling out incentives that help guests offset some of the cost of hitting the road. We know in franchising, the hotel lodging is such a big part of franchise systems.
Right.
Some are offering prepaid gasoline cards ranging from $10 to $50. Others are extending cash bonuses or reduced room rates to guests who drive a hybrid vehicle or take a train or bus to their destination. Subsidizing the price of gas to lure in cost-conscious guests is nothing new for the lodging industry. However, such promotions were few and far between in the past until pump prices started jumping. Says Bjorn Hansen, a hospitality consultant at Price Waterhouse Coopers. Now, hundreds of businesses have jumped on board. It's pretty interesting.
That is interesting.
Hotel rooms are the ultimate perishable commodity. They make eggs look sturdy. If you don't sell the rooms tonight, they're gone forever, says Mark Ebel, regional VP for PKF Hospitality Research and Industry Consulting Group in Indianapolis. Hoteliers' biggest concern is that should gasoline hit a nationwide average of $3.50, guests will start canceling reservations. A price of $3.50 a gallon is considered the psychological tipping point for consumers. At that price, most drivers will decide to drive less rather than cut back on other expenses, said Troy Green, a spokesman for AAA. For consumers tempted by gas promotions, a smart strategy is to shop around and consider just how much that $50 prepaid gasoline card will take off of the final bill. Fees such as parking, for example, might offset the discount. You know, it's a pretty good point there.
Right.
Hotel might give you a discount, but there might be other charges that are higher really offsetting that.
Right, right.
When you get right down to it, $50 gas card is $50, says Ann Bennis, executive editor for SmarterTravel.com, a travel advice site. There might be another hotel nearby that's cheaper to begin with, which would give you more to spend on gas and other parts of your vacation. It's also important to call the property directly to confirm details of the offer, including which brand of stations this prepaid card is good at and whether they require proof of mileage. That's interesting. I know, you know, a friend of mine works for New Jersey Nets basketball, and I see they're offering this type of incentive with gasoline. So I guess a lot of people are thinking it can really hurt their reservations or their attendance to, you know, because of the higher, you know, gasoline prices. So
right.
Businesses are getting very nervous about that.
Right, right. Interesting.
Yeah. Here's something out of the El Paso Times. Entrepreneurs urge to think of retirement plans. This is by David Burge.
Mm-hmm.
A pretty interesting article. We've talked about this, maybe not enough in general.
No,
starts
haven't.
Off, Marty, John Prediger, owner of the Time Capsule Collectible Stores, is like a lot of other entrepreneurs when it comes to saving for retirement. Prediger, who has owned the West Side business for 11 years, used some retirement savings to start a store, and during the first 4 or 5 years he operated, he didn't save for his retirement. He says, I was concentrating on keeping the business running, and I was putting a lot of money back into the business. I was also trying to pay off some debt. After 4 or 5 years, I was able to start saving for retirement again. Prediger said it's important for everyone, just not entrepreneurs, to take charge of their future retirements. If you're relying on Social Security or a pension, it may not be enough, he said. It goes on, Prediger's story is common. Financial experts say entrepreneurs are highly motivated, goal-oriented individuals, but they often put their retirement savings on hold while they establish their companies, experts say. These are highly driven people who work 50 to 60 hours a week and meet their bottom line and to make sure the company survives, says Eric Sheeran, a financial advisor with Barber Financial Group in Kansas. These individuals put their heart and soul into their business. They never really come up for air until they retire. What we found, and what he's found, is that not spending a lot of time on a personal financial plan to see how their business fits into their long-range plans, they don't have a clear exit strategy. Many times they don't have the necessary insurance in case something happens to them.
Wow. We spoke about this, haven't we, when we had Warren Gresius on the show.
Right.
You know, talking about the importance of insurance.
Right.
More so disability, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, I thought this was interesting to remind people listening.
It is,
owning
absolutely.
A business to, you know, look at the long term. It says one of the fallacies that many small business owners fall into about retirement is they expect to sell their business, and that will be their retirement.
Mm.
Can't always, you know, rely on that. Should be
right.
Put money away.
Right.
It says, without the safety net of a pension, the self-employed have an even greater urgency to take retirement saving into their own hands, says Greg McBride, senior financial analyst with Bankrate.com. Business owners have so much invested in their business, both time and money, it's understandable how future financial needs can take a back seat to the more pressing issue of running your business day to day. But that could be costly in the long run. And they say here, most small business owners are counting on funding 30% to 40% of the retirement by selling their business.
Right.
Also, 46% of small business owners never intend to fully retire.
Wow.
So,
so just going to keep working.
Yeah, so, you know, you have to definitely look at this early on, start planning long term.
Right. It's something that I think we should talk more about, you know, in the future, because I think it is an important topic that, you know, a lot of times we just simply don't discuss, you know,
right.
And it needs to be discussed.
Right. We'll have a special thought again in the future, because we're not experts in that area.
No, absolutely. We should probably bring on someone like famous, like Susie Orman or something like that, you know, to
right.
Discuss the issue. Yeah.
Use your connections. You have a lot out there.
There you go.
Here's something, Marty, from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Krispy Kreme tests soft-serve dessert by Gail Appleson, dated just recently. It starts off, Laura Schlegel, president of the Krispy Kreme Donuts franchise operation here, knows that St. Louis is a good ice cream town. So when she heard that a Tacoma, Washington Krispy Kreme shop was selling a saucer of frozen dessert, she asked the corporate office if her stores can take a dip. Her company, called Hot Light Brands, got permission to give Cool Cream a try. She sells it in four of her five stores, making St. Louis the first multi-store market in Krispy Kreme's 450-store system to sell the product. Hot Light Brands, which also operates 10 shops in the Chicago area, two in central Illinois, is owned by Allied Capital Investment Company in Washington. The SauceSurf product has drawn a great deal of attention from other franchisees, Schlegel said. All eyes are on us, said Schlegel, whose office is in DeParis, and we're happy to be in the spotlight. The dessert, which comes in vanilla and deep chocolate flavors, can also be swirled, has 4.5% butterfat, making it too low to be classified as ice cream. And ice cream, I didn't realize this, Marty, requires a minimum of 10% butterfat in the U.S.
That's incredible, isn't it?
We're telling people about July's ice cream month. We're telling about the fat content. We're on top of our game here with the ice cream situation.
There you go.
The product comes at a time when ice cream and gelato stores are on the increase in the St. Louis area. In fact, St. Louis is a focus market for Canton, Massachusetts-based Baskin-Robbins, who, of course, we're going to have on the show in a few weeks.
Right.
The company has seven stores here and hopes to add more than 40 franchise units in the next 4 years. That's interesting. Just in St. Louis, have that many stores.
It's amazing.
Baskin-Robbins is a unit of Dunkin' Brands, Inc., which also owns Dunkin' Donuts, a key Krispy Kreme competitor. Baskin-Robbins has a sauce-served product sold along with ice cream in more than 1,000 shops across the country, said Ted Kimmel, Baskin-Robbins brand officer. Although the dessert is not sold in the St. Louis market, it will be there in spring 09 when it becomes available in all 2,700 Baskin-Robbins locations. A little interesting story. Krispy Kreme, which sold its first glazed donut in 1937. You know, I didn't know much about this company up until a few years ago when they were in the news. They started expanding much, but
they exploded at one point. You know, I mean, they were just they were on top of the world.
And sometimes you don't hear about a company, then they come on pretty strong, and you think maybe they're not that old. But here, Krispy Kreme, first donut, 1937.
Yeah, I didn't realize that they were around that long. You know, it's interesting. I think the appeal with Krispy Kreme, you know, you kind of say what happened because they were struggling for a little while. I remember back in the late, '90s, they were on top of the world.
Right.
But what happened with them was, I mean, the appeal was getting the hot donut, you know, and if you notice now, you can get Krispy Kreme donuts in like your local 7-Eleven or, you know, if you have like a Turkey Hill convenience store. They sell them there now too. So, I mean, the appeal is kind of gone, you know. You know, so you have to be so careful sometimes, you know. Again, it seems like they also blame Krispy Kreme's, falling stock prices to the Atkins diet, too. You know, so I'm sure there was a lot of different variables.
Well, that's what it says. Our sales have also been hurt by healthier eating trends. Krispy Kreme responded in January by selling in the U.S. only products with 0 grams of trans fat.
Right.
So they've come on some rough times here, but they have someone new taking the helm. It says here, combining a glazed donut with a Cool Cream chocolate cone tallies a cool 460 calories.
What do you think of that?
That might seem over the top, but customers don't come to the stores looking for diet desserts. People come in
that's true.
And they want to indulge,
right.
She says. So, just one part of the country, but some interesting stuff going on. Companies always have to, like we've always said in the past, from your little to your large company, always have to be making slight changes to go with the times, I guess.
I totally agree. You know, and speaking of changes, Don, I know it's a little off topic, but when we had Rita's on the show, it was about 3-4 weeks ago.
Right.
We actually stopped by there yesterday, and I got it's called a Rita Chino, and it's kind of like this coffee. Jim was actually talking about it when we had him on the show.
Right.
And it was just out of this world. You know, I don't want to compare it to any other companies or anything like that, but it's like this coffee drink, ice cream drink, and it's just, it was incredible.
That's a brand new product,
It's a brand new product, yeah, and they also have another one called Slenderita, which is like a custard, and it's, I believe it's like no fat, so I'm going to have to try that next time. But again, we typically go there once a week, and...
we were the first to hear that, as well as them starting to have some of their walk-in shops
exactly.
at Rita.
He made a lot of announcements on the show when we had him, you know, so it was just interesting. So, you know, I finally tried it, and by the way, I mean, it was so packed. I mean, I've just seen the line. I mean, it was just...
Oh, this is their season.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is it.
Yeah.
You know, so... And it's interesting, though, because as you're waiting online, you hear conversations, you know, with people like saying, oh, God, I wish I owned one of these. You know what I mean? It's just...
Right.
But not really knowing about franchising, you know?
Did you overhear anybody online talking? They heard our radio show. That's why they went to read us?
No, I didn't hear that, but no. I'm surprised I didn't hear it.
So, right.
Yeah. So that's just, you know, a little FYI.
All right, Marty, here, just dated June 4th, from the Atlantic Business Chronicle survey, most small business owners optimistic about the rest of the year.
Good.
And you're hearing everything in the news about the economy's down, it's
right.
This and that, problems. It says there nearly 78% of owners and managers of small businesses say their companies will meet or surpass growth expectations this year, according to a national survey.
Good.
The Business Confidence Survey was conducted in May via Kingwood, Texas-based Administaff, Inc., a database of more than 6,000 small and mid-sized businesses. About 44% of the companies surveyed are hiring full-time employees, while 11% plan to add part-timers. Respondents stated average compensation is up 4.9% from the same time a year ago, while average commissions have increased 6.8%. The survey found business owners and managers are willing to fight to keep valued employees. To accomplish that, more than half of the respondents said they are turning to pay increases or providing workers with new challenges or responsibilities. More than 26%, Marty, of the employers plan to increase salaries this year, according to the survey, while 50% will maintain current wage levels. 64% expect overtime to remain about the same. Going on, it says more than 60% of the companies cited the economy as their most serious concern in 2008, followed by 52% who said finding ways to control operating costs was the principal challenge. 40% were most concerned with hiring the right employees. Lastly here, the majority of survey participants expressed guarded confidence in the current business climate. Pretty interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Most people still feel pretty confident about the economy and plans for their growth overall.
Yeah, well, that's good news, you know, I know, because, you know, it's you hear different sides of the story, you know, depending on what news source you're watching. You know, talk about the doom and
right.
gloom, you know.
Right.
The recession, you know, and people sometimes start buying into that. But I tell you, I mean, going to the malls, Don, or even, you know, as I said, my experience at Rita's yesterday, you know, I mean, you can never tell that, you know, you say things are bad, you know. I mean, it all depends on your perception.
Right.
Of things, you know, so it doesn't always appear that way.
Yeah, it should be interesting next quarter, 3-4 months, see what happens, because I've heard that economy should be picking up a little bit. The end of the summer and fall, and sometimes you hear, well, you know, not till next year, so, you know, we'll see what happens.
Right, absolutely.
And, you know, that's what's interesting about franchising also, because whether in good times or bad time, I guess in some rough times, more people might be out of work, they have to do something. Maybe someone who's a little older has been out in the business, your workforce, 20, 30 years. They have to do something to invest in a franchise. During better times, people feel better about the economy, even more the reason to invest in a franchise. That's what's kind of interesting, just thinking at this point, you know, reading this article about franchising in general.
Right, absolutely. That's interesting. Here's something quick, Don. I don't know if you've seen this. It's called the self-evaluation. Is franchising for you? And I don't think we've ever read it on the show, but it's 15 questions to ask yourself before buying a franchise. And this came from the Franchise Opportunities Guide.
Right.
It was the spring and summer edition. And just a couple I just want to kind of throw at our listeners. Number one, are you willing and able to take on the responsibilities of managing your own business? Right, that's an important question. It says, one of the myths that has been perpetuated is that franchise ownership is easy. You know, you say all the time, I mean, it's hard work.
Right.
So this is simply not true. While the franchise system will give the startup training and offer ongoing support, you, the franchisee, must be prepared to manage the business. So that's important. Will you enjoy the franchise? And that was a big one from when we had Michael Gerber on the show. So sometimes people buy a franchise, they think it's going to make them a lot of money, only to find out later that they do not enjoy the business.
Right.
The adage, know thyself, certainly applies here. You should buy a franchise that centers in the area that you'll enjoy over the next 10 or 15 years. So important, isn't it? You know, and again,
right.
You have so many choices today, don't you? I mean, I think we're up to
right.
about, what is it, 2,900 different types of systems and like...
Over 80 industries.
Industries,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean...
Yeah, I mean, it's important, obviously, to like what you're doing, because if not, that's going to show in your performance, probably not... not work as many hours, might rub off with your attitude with employees. And, you know, just about all the people we've had on, they talk about passion. So if we don't have the passion, it's not going to, you know, it's not going to, you know, follow through with your work and your everyday life.
Absolutely. Yeah. Here's a big one. I mean, it's been the theme of our show for like the last 2 years. Are you willing to, and the key word emphasized, completely follow the franchise system? And how many times, including our guest last week, Chris from Brugger's, you know, said, you know what, this thing will work for you, but you got to totally trust the franchise and completely follow our system. If you do that, it'll be very successful.
Right.
You know, so important. Do you have a history of success in dealing and interacting with people? Now, if you don't, that doesn't mean you can't get into franchising, does it? I mean, it's just getting to a franchise where...
A certain type of franchise, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, again, there's so many choices. You know, like, let's say, like, a 1-800 dry clean. I remember when we had Rob Sanders on the show. You know, he said, if you don't have a lot of, like, interpersonal skills, you don't necessarily have to deal with people that much. You know what I mean? So,
right.
You know, that might be a franchise that you want to consider. Can you afford the franchise? I mean, this is your background. You know, one of the major causes of business failure is undercapitalization. We had Julie Bennett on the show. She referenced that as well, you know, from her 15 years of dealing with franchisees and franchisors and writing about them. So,
right. Most people don't realize what the cost is going to be, just not to invest in the franchise, but to have ongoing cash reserve, working capital will pay bills until you're profitable. Have your own personal reserve money. Plan for a worst-case situation if it doesn't work out, that you know you can withstand this type of investment.
Right. So many of the franchisees go out of business because, you know, undercapitalization. You know, they just weren't able to make it work. You know.
Right. And when we're pre-qualifying people for financing, we're always increasing the loan size, giving them more working capital, you know, going high-end with stuff because, you know, you have to plan that way.
Right.
You don't want to start off a business where after a few months you've gone through your reserve money that was part of the loan, or things don't go as planned, you're not hitting your projections and numbers, now you got to start dipping into personal funds, and it gets to be a bad situation.
Absolutely. Here's a big one that we've discussed on the show many times. Have you carefully studied the legal documents? Franchisors are required to, as you know, provide what's the FDD, which has recently changed. And again, have a franchise attorney review these documents. So it's been another common theme of every show that we've done up to this point, is really have an expert help you with
right.
things.
Kind so of, important. I mean, that's. I mean, at first, I mean, now I think from you know, just our experience in the business doing the show, I mean, it's almost mandatory, I feel.
Sure.
Have
absolutely.
Someone reviewing it. These are, you know, not easy documents to follow, whether it's the franchise agreement, the UFOC, which is now called the FDD.
Right.
Have to get an expert, stay on top of all that, because if you make some type of mistake, it can hurt you down the line, or even just starting out the franchise.
You can incorporate the cost, you know, into the franchise loan. You know, and I know Nancy Lenard's firm, we've had her on the show 2 times already, you know, that's what she recommends, is just, you know, incorporating her fees, which is, by the way, a flat fee, into into the loan package. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Right,
you know,
yeah.
Because I think a lot of people might be concerned to say, you know what, I don't need to... get a franchise attorney. I can look this over on myself. It's written in layman's terms, but
or even get my own attorney or you know, a family member who might be a lawyer but
exactly.
knows nothing about franchise law.
Well, yeah, I know you have a lot of lawyers in your family. You know, I mean, it's
yeah.
you know, if you weren't exposed to, you know, our industry or what we do, you know, you might consider yourself saying, you know what, my brother-in-law is an attorney. I'll just have him look at the papers. But
right.
you know, he might be very good. But franchising is from our experience a totally different animal, isn't it?
Yep, definitely.
And what you know, people are used to. So just so important. Does the franchise you're considering have a track record of success? We had Brugger's on the show last week. They've been around for 25 years. They have a very, very strong history. You know, and that's just so important. You have to look at the track record, and you're going to find that in the FDD document as well.
Right.
Are the franchisees generally happy and successful? Now, that's a big one, isn't it? You know, how do you find that out if they're happy and successful? Well, it's pretty much getting on the phone and calling them, you know?
Right.
And, you know, it goes a lot deeper than that, asking if they're happy and successful. You know, I mean, you want to find out a lot of different things. We had Jill LaBava on the show, what was it, like 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, and he just wrote a book as far as how to research a franchise. And it's definitely recommended reading for anyone looking to buy a franchise. But he lists the important questions that people should ask. when researching a franchise opportunity.
Right.
How do you know what questions to ask? You know, I mean, it's just, you know, and there's a whole list of questions, by the way. So this is a very time-consuming process. Do you like the franchisor's staff, those people with whom you're going to be working with? Now, that's an important one, isn't it? I mean, if you
have to be comfortable with them. That's who you're going to be working with. That's the whole purpose of going to the discovery day, which a lot of franchisors have, which a lot of them, I'm pretty sure they're mandatory, you know, because from the franchise perspective, they want to know, obviously, who they're getting into business with. But for the franchisee, that's where you can really start to see if you're comfortable
right.
with the people, the higher-ups and, you know, some of the development people at the franchise companies.
Right, absolutely. What else? Do you have family support? Now, I think that's a big one.
Right.
That we learned a lot on this show over the last 2 years. This is managing a franchise is a full-time job. It requires great sacrifices of personal and family time. For this reason, your family should understand that you will have tremendous demands on your time. Husband, wife, and children need to be supportive of your decision to buy the franchise. It's interesting. If you remember when we had Carol Mercurio, she is a consultant for Matchpoint on the show.
Right.
She won't go forward with a franchisee or prospective franchisee if she doesn't have the support of the husband or the wife. You know, she said you got to have that support. You know, if you don't
right.
have it, it's just not going to work. Warren Gresius said the same thing on the show. You know, so it's just very important consideration.
Right.
See, do you like the franchisor staff? So that's, you know, that's a list of, I think it's like about like 15 different questions that you should kind of ask yourself before buying a franchise. And that came from the Franchise Opportunities Guide, the Spring Summer 2006 edition.
Right, yeah, interesting. And, you know, I'm always looking at the book, which kind of fits me. It's called Franchising for Dummies.
Okay.
The book written by Dave Thomas and Michael Seid. And what you just mentioned, you know, chapter 18 really, you know, goes into that.
Right.
Where it's, you know, make sure you have enough money. Follow the system. Don't neglect your loved ones. Here's something: be an enthusiastic operator.
Right.
Also, recruit the best talent and treat them with respect. Teach your employees. You know, it's more than just training. Yeah, you know, that internally with the franchisee is always going to be ongoing. To make sure you're giving that great service, which is another thing. Give customers great service. The article you just read, I don't know if it got into it, but we speak to a lot of franchisors who start talking about, start getting involved with the community.
Yeah.
Get the name out there. Get join some different groups that might be a fit for your type of business.
Yeah, it's becoming a lot more popular theme on the show, you know.
Right.
Remember when we had, going back, Garlic Gyms, you know, I mean, they were very big as far as getting involved in the community and
right.
things like that, you know. So it is. It's so important, and it works.
Says customers like to shop in places that support them. We're not talking about advertising. We're talking about real marketing to your community. It's interesting. And, of course, watch the details is something that this particular book and chapter, went into. In any business, you got to watch every little detail.
Absolutely. Totally agree.
I have something else here. It sounds like Fred's running a little late. This is something from the NewsTribune.com, Marty, out of Tacoma, Washington. This is someone I just got to know recently. His name is John Troutman, and this was written by Kelly Kersley. It says before John Troutman had his own smoothie franchises, his own smoothie franchise, end up as the vice president of business development for Emerald City Smoothie. He was a smoothie drinker. He started frequenting a smoothie store in Burien years ago and embarked on Emerald City Smoothie franchises while working as an account executive with Washington Mutual. He joined Emerald City's corporate offices a year ago, heading up the fast-growing company's business development. The company focuses on selling smoothies and nutritional products, which started in Federal Way in 1996. Emerald City now counts almost 60 stores, including at least a dozen in South Sound. The chain plans to plans for more growth, and this News Tribune sat down with John Troutman recently to discuss the smoothie business. It says here, Marty, how did you move from franchise owner to working for Emerald City Smoothie? says, I started working with the company about a year ago. At the time, I was still working for Washington Mutual, but this turned into something bigger. Then we all know what happened to the lending side of, I guess he got kind of caught up in the whole thing what's going on with, you know, the mortgage and housing industry. So in December, they let us know that he wouldn't be working there anymore, and he went full-time into this. The next question is, Vice President of Business Development, you help people start franchises? And he says, I'm helping people find out this is right for them and that they're right for us. It's a long-term commitment. It's kind of like a marriage. If you don't have the right recipe, it's not going to work. That's something we talk about a lot, about a franchise relationship, Marty. It's compared to a marriage.
Right, absolutely. It's been a common theme on the show.
Next question, what is that right fit? He says, obviously, people have to have financial stability to own a franchise. We just talked about that. The entrepreneur spirit is a key thing as well. You have to have business savvy, things like that. For both sides, sometimes it's just a feel. Maybe they have restaurant experience in the past. We have a list of questions that we ask people prior to sitting down with them, and we ask enough questions to find out their concerns and financial situation. What advice would you give new franchise owners? He says, I would say for someone to be successful, they want to be hands-on. The number one thing I see is the amount of franchisee is involved in the day-to-day operations. The more involved the owner is, the more successful. It says, make sure you hire right. Key things are obviously location and who do you have running and who's in there with you. And lastly, it says, how do you decide where to put a store? And I guess... it says it stores per population in a radius around each of 3 miles of protection. This shows how much we believe in our product. When corporate put their store in Factoria, you can see Jamba Juice across the street.
Really? Oh, that's interesting, isn't it?
So I guess they're pretty confident in their product to really go real close to competition like that.
Absolutely. Interesting.
And it goes on a little bit, who are your customers? So it talks a little bit about Emerald City, but I thought it's interesting how John's in this position now of franchising based on his background.
Right.
But he seems to know what he's doing so far. I'm sure they're going to have a lot of success.
Absolutely.
Last question here. But do you worry that in tough economic times, people stop buying smoothies, that they view them as a luxury item? And we've just talked about dessert and Ritas and everything like that, and it doesn't really seem like it's, you know, people are affecting during tough times.
Right.
He says it's not a luxury item. It's a meal. People still have to eat. One thing we need to do a better job at Emerald City Smoothie to break away from the other smoothie companies is to let people know that we are not a sorbet in a cup. We are a meal in a cup, and there's a huge difference. So I guess that's what maybe separates this particular franchise. And I've spoke to John. We're starting to help him with financing a little bit. We'll probably have him on in the future.
Good. That's good. Yeah, I think you'd make a great guest. Absolutely. I think, as you said, Don, I think Fred is running late, so I think we're going to have to reschedule our show with him. Next week, June 19th, actually, that's this week, isn't it?
Right, just yeah, this Thursday the 19th.
Today's Thursday perhaps. Now, all day. again, we're meeting with Michael Newman. He's the the founder of ABC, the ABC Senior Care franchise, right? It's ABC Always Best Care.
Right.
And we're going to have them on this week. And following week after that, we're going to meet with Sterling Optical. You know, so we have some exciting shows coming up.
Definitely. Okay.
So I think what we'll do here, Don, is we'll wrap up today's show. And again, we'll try to reschedule Fred for sometime next week or the week after that. And
right.
We'll be talking next week.
Okay. Sounds good, Marty.
Thanks
have a nice
lot,
day.
Don. Have a great day today.
You too.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.